Have you ever been in a situation where the outcome was way better than what you expected? The other day, Jen and I got a phone call from Annie and Charlotte's school, and before we had even realized what was going on, Charlotte's teacher had emailed us asking if we had been contacted by the vice principal about Charlotte yet. And we were wondering what was going on. I mean, the kids are at school at home. We're overseeing all their activity and their work. And, you know, this is a weird time in all of our lives, in school life. The kids are home all day. For Charlotte's second grade class, we get a printout of the weekly work. So we crank it out, we take a break, do more, and that's our regular routine. So we're sitting there wondering what the vice principal might have to say to us. We're wondering what's going on, and why is the teacher asking if the vice principal is calling? Why would the vice principal call us? I mean, I started thinking back immediately to my old elementary school days, and the vice principal, it was Mr. Pirtle, the scariest human being I had ever encountered in my childhood. He kept us in line. And if he ever called the house, it was bad news. I was hiding in my closet, cowering in the corner. For 6 years, he kept us in line just because we were scared of him. And the one time he called my house and talked to my folks, it did not go well for me. So I started second-guessing every bit of work we'd been doing. At one point, we had logged into the wrong student's account by accident and did some work. So I thought maybe it was about that. Did we miss something huge? So anyway, we get this call, a little bit of phone tag, and finally a voicemail message. "Hello, Mrs. Rustin. This is the vice principal at the elementary school calling regarding Charlotte." And of course, at this point, we're holding our breath, right? Like crazy. It's the longest pause ever. "I wanted to call and pass along some great news. Charlotte was issued a positive referral by her teacher because she's been doing all of her work and a lot of extra work going above and beyond, and we just wanted to recognize her for that and tell her to keep it up because she's doing an incredible job." Whew. Talk about an outcome that was way better than what we expected, right? We were expecting something maybe more on the negative side or even neutral, but then a positive email from her teacher came through, affirming exactly what the vice principal had said. The teacher had gone out of her way, and the vice principal went out of his way to call us, and it was an awesome, awesome moment. Today we're going to talk about an awesome moment. We're going to get into our sermon series about the miracles of Jesus, and this really resonates with me because it's most certainly a moment that turned out differently than anybody expected. So listen to God's word from John chapter 2. "On the third day, a wedding took place in Cana in Galilee. And Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, 'They have no more wine.' 'Woman, why do you involve me?' Jesus replied. 'My hour has not yet come.' His mother said to his servants, 'Do whatever he tells you.' So nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, 'Fill the jars with water.' So they filled them to the brim. And then he told them, 'Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet.' They did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. And then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink, but you have saved the best until now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed him. Amen. So this is the very first of Jesus' miracles recorded in John's Gospel, and I think it serves an amazing purpose. On one hand, it starts to open up the story of Jesus as the Son of God, because the power of God to do miracles is suddenly on display. Yet, on the other hand, it just barely gives us a glimpse into the life of Jesus and all the miraculous work that is to come. Now, we have to keep in mind that John's Gospel starts very differently from the other Gospels, as it opens with a theological understanding. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. It goes on to say, the true light that enlightens everyone was coming into the world. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So John establishes Jesus right off the bat in his Gospel as the one, the only one who would pierce the darkness with the long-anticipated light of God. And that is his kingdom, his salvation. And this is followed up in John with a series of declarations of this same principle. We then shift to Jesus' day-to-day life. He's going to a wedding. He's with his mom and some of his friends, his disciples. And we have this very interesting exchange between Jesus and his mother. "They're out of wine," she says to him bluntly, almost as if he's a stocking clerk at a liquor store or a bartender at a busy restaurant. "They're out of wine." Jesus knows what his mother is implying. "Hey, son, it's time to show everybody that light." But he resists this at first. When Jesus says to his mother, "The time has not yet come," he's referring to a lot of things. But when I read it, I see him starting to unfold a plan that is way bigger than anybody would have ever expected. The medium for this plan unfolding on this day is wine, but that's just a microcosm, a foretaste of what is to come. Now, Jesus performs this miracle. No one can deny it. I mean, the gentleman who drew the water into the jugs know that there has not been any sort of switcheroo, no smoke and mirrors tricks. And they drew the water, they carried the jugs in, and they took the first drink. And the water is unmistakably now become wine. This isn't like some sort of random berry got dropped into a water jug and added a little bit of slight flavor. This is full-fledged, full-bodied, delicious, amazing wine, and they are blown away. The wedding guests, everyone at the party who drinks of this wine, is saying, "Wow, this new wine you've brought, it's the best wine we've tasted yet. It's amazing. It's delicious. How gracious of you to bring it out at the end of the party when you could have just brought bad wine out. And everyone would have been just fine. But yet you saved the best for last." And yet for Jesus, we know this is just the beginning. Now, I think the reason John highlights this miracle at the front end of his Gospel is really twofold. On one hand, what an amazing display of God's power, right? It's undeniable. It's amazing. Yet, on the other hand, this miracle actually tells God's story with his people. God has always been present, like the regular wine at the beginning of the party. But then God goes radio silent to the Israelites for a time. They have violated the covenant way too much. Their relationship is broken. They end up in exile out of their home country, their city, their temple destroyed. And this is like when the wine has run out at the party and all they can draw is water. But God comes back. He sends his son Jesus to the earth, the Word with us, as John declares. And this is like the good wine, the best wine that comes out at the end of the party. Again, where Jesus is concerned, he is the beginning of the next part of God's story. Maybe this isn't quite what you expected to hear today. I'm talking about miracles for the next few weeks, and maybe you wanted me to go through the chemistry of water being turned into something else, or maybe you wanted me to talk about the how-to dynamics of a holy miracle. But today, I want to focus on God's story as it's manifest in the life of Jesus. As we get this reminder in the story of water being turned into wine. And in that reality, I want you to think about your faith story. Think about God in your life, past, present. And how are those two stories, God's story and your story, intersecting right now? Maybe your faith is like the crummy wine at the beginning. It's okay. It's palatable. You tell yourself it's fine, but you know it could be better. Or is your faith dead right now? Like the blasé water that remains after the wine has run out? Or is your faith like the new wine, given only by the grace and power of Jesus, that is in fact the best of all? Remember, just as Jesus changes wine, even more so, he changes hearts. It's Jesus who gives us a new story to live into, and new opportunities every day to leave the old life behind, the crummy wine behind, and live into the new life he offers each one of us. Jesus is the one who gives us new life. Jesus is the one who reminds us now, my hour has come. Amen. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for the many ways you interface with us. We recognize all the different times in our lives, Lord, where our faith has been stronger or weaker than other times, and yet you have never left us, even when we have tried to leave you. Lord, we thank you for your story. We thank you for your Son coming into our lives to change us, to transform us deep within. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we have every day to be renewed like that new wine is made. And we thank you that your Spirit continues to walk alongside us, to lead us and guide us and to push us when we need it into deeper relationship with you. Whatever might be hindering us from tasting of the new wine, the new life you have to offer, Lord, we pray that we would have the strength to overcome those barriers, to lay them at the feet of your cross, and to walk away from those patterns into the new life you have for each one of us. Lord, as we reflect on your power in our life, we also want to lift up several folks who need an extra measure of your grace during this time. We lift up Bob Johnson as he continues to recover. We lift up Judy Ernest, who has had a rough week or two and truly needs your healing power and the wisdom and discernment of the folks at rehabilitation and her doctors to get her back to health and wholeness. We lift up Jeannie Oliver as she struggles with isolation during this time and not being able to be around friends and family during this 100th year of her life. We lift up Barbara as she continues to mourn the loss of Jerry, and we pray that you would surround her with your love and your presence, that you would be with her friends and family that surround her from afar. We lift up the Kaplow family as they are also grieving a loss in their family. We pray that you would draw them near to you. Lord, as we continue to navigate life with this virus throughout our city, our state, our country, and our world, we pray for all those who have been stricken, and we pray for healing. We pray for those who have remained safe from the virus, and we pray a hedge of protection around them as well. God, we pray for answers in the medical field that can help us move past this. We pray for wisdom for everybody as we continue in our social distancing and in our choices. We give you thanks for a good God, for being a good God who continues to walk alongside us no matter what we face. We thank you for giving us this place where we can connect from afar, from wherever we might be. We thank you for your scriptures that lead us and guide us. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who taught us when we pray together to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. There are a few things going on in our life together. I want to give you some updates. Due to the high winds we experienced last week, the company that was supposed to tent the church had to reschedule our tenting service to May. Fortunately, everybody was able to work together without a hitch on the construction side of things, so plenty has happened. If you tune in to the morning show tomorrow morning, this week with Pastor Dino, I will show you a bit more of what's going on here at the building. If you need anything from the church office, please call the church phone number and leave a voicemail, or you can send us an email and we'll get to all that as quickly as we can. I wanted to let you know that if you have grandkids or kids or any neighbor kids that you want to connect with our church, Larry has created some amazing content for kids. It's on our church YouTube channel, which is FB Bradenton, all one word. There's also a Facebook page for kids as well. It's really fun stuff. We spent some time watching it this week with the kids. I want to encourage you to check it out. If you need to get in touch with Larry as to how to access that, you can email him at larry@firstpressbradenton.com for more details. I'd ask you to continue making phone calls and emails and texts to connect with your fellow congregants and see how everyone's doing. I'm doing my best to call everyone I can in the congregation. Eventually, I will get to you all, but it does take some time to do that. And so just keep checking in on each other. We can do a lot together. And we do ask that you continue to send in your tithes and offerings to the church office by the mail. We can still pick up mail. It greatly helps us to move things along during this time. And you can also give online through our church website. There's a give link at bradenton.church. As we reflect on the power of God in our lives, let us now calm our hearts and focus on the Lord.